Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Lamed Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 8 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Zayin. In our previous shiur, we were involved with trying to understand the halacha concerning payment for the study of Mikra as opposed to payment for the study of Medrash, or we'll say the realm of Torah Shebaal Peh. And without reviewing all of the details of our previous shiur, we noticed there was a machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan concerning the payment that one would make for Mikra. Is it Schar Shimur, which Rav referred to? We can call that a babysitting fee. In general, who learns Mikra? Children, young boys, and they need supervision, and hence the payment that's made for a Mikra instructor is Schar Shimur. And Rabbi Yochanan says that the payment that's made is Schar Pisuk Tomim. You're paying for that aspect of the Mikra study, which involves the cantillation and the punctuation and vowelization. In other words, between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, we see that there is agreement with what we learned in our previous year, that one does not pay, one is not supposed to pay for actual education of Torah content, of actual Torah content, Torah knowledge. Therefore, you see Rav and Rabbi Yochanan explaining how can you pay for the teaching of Mikra, of verses, when we understand and we accept that one does not pay for actual Torah content education. That is the point at which we concluded our previous shiur. And now we're going to look into these two opinions and see which one is the more likely in view of sources, as any other Gemara would do. So as we continue in the Gemara, we're going to notice some markings. You'll see a house shape whose position fluctuates or alternates, sometimes point facing up, sometimes point of the house facing down. On the side of the Gemara, we call this under the Mivneh heading, the structural note, you see a house, and we call this a Ma'akav. The flip-flop positioning is in order to keep track of a back-and-forth type discussion. With the point facing up, we're going to be saying, Bishlamo l'mandomer schar pisu tomim. Things would seem to appear more favorable for Rabbi Yochanan's position, that the payment is for the cantillation. And the inverted house shape would be a rejection of that. So now, the Gemara. 8 lines from the top, toward the end of the line, Tanan, a quote from our Mishnah, which deals with the Mudor Hano. In our Mishnah, we learned, as we've been learning since the beginning of the Perek, the issue of Mr. A, who prohibits Mr. B from benefiting from him. So it says, Tanan lo yilamdenu mikra. One should not teach mikra. And when we speak here, we're talking about teaching for free. Because otherwise, he would have had to pay someone else. Here he's getting it for free, and hence he's benefiting. And that is in violation of the neder, in violation of the vow that was taken. So the Mishnah said that A should not teach B once A had vowed not to benefit B. He should not teach him Mikra for gratis. Bishlamo lemando amar schar pisuk tamim. It would make sense according to the opinion that the payment is made for cantillation. Hainu delo, hain delo liam. Then I understand that he should not teach him. Elo lemando amar schar shimur. But if you're going to say that the payment that would have been made is a babysitting fee, gadol bar shimur, an adult is someone that needs babysitting. If you have Mr. A and Mr. B, assuming they are both adults, so there wouldn't be any payment anyway for the teaching of Mikra. So there isn't any savings of money. Money wouldn't have been spent anyhow. So the Gemara says, Bekoton Kotoni. Our Mishnah is, when it says Lo Yilamdenu Mikra, in fact, is talking about teaching a minor. Question, if you're dealing with a minor, then just continue reading in the Mishnah and see if that holds water. It says in the Seifa on the continuation, Avol Melamed is Bonov Mikra, but you can teach his children verses. Well, but if the subject of the Mishnah is a minor, then the Hemshech, the continuation, is referring to the minor's children. But Katan Bar Bonim Hu, is a minor capable of having children? No, he's too young. So at this point, it doesn't seem tenable to follow the approach of Schar Shimur. The Gemara responds, Chisurei Mechasra V'Achi Kotoni. And so here, as you can see with the flow of the Gemara, we're going to defend the position of Schar Shimur. And how would we understand the Mishnah? As follows. Lo yilamdenu mikra. The Mishnah said that in the case of the vows, you do not teach the party mikra bekotan if the subject of the vow is a minor. Im hoya gadol melamdoi loi ulevonov mikra. If the subject of the vow was an adult, so then you can teach him and his children as well. The assumption being that when you're teaching the father with the kids, so there is no shimur because the father is right there. Meisvei, tinoikos loy koren betchila b'shabbes avol shoinen borishon. Children are not to study something new on Shabbos, but they can review something that they learned, even if they had learned it once. In other words, Shabbos is a day that review can be made. Now, this is a source that needs a great deal of explanation. We translated it, but we don't really understand it yet. So, the Gemara continues. Bishlamo lamando mar schar pisuk tomim. According to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, the payment that's made for child education in verses is for the cantillation. Hainu di ein kurin betchila b'shabbes. Therefore, you can't teach new material on Shabbos because we're afraid that that might come to your paying for the teaching of the Pisuk Tamim. And Shabbos is a day in which one is not allowed to profit, not allowed to be employed, not allowed to make money. Elo leman de'omar schar shimur. But according to the approach that said that the payment that's made is for babysitting purposes, this entire source that was taught dealing with Shabbos, it's hard to understand. Amai, why does it teach the following? Ein koren betchilo b'shabbes. V'amai shoinin borishon. You're telling me, well, new material you can't teach on Shabbos, but review of something that had been learned before Shabbos is allowed to be done. But now, review with children, doesn't that also entail shimur, the babysitting aspect of things? Ha'ika schar shimur de Shabbos. There still is the problem of the babysitting fee, even when you're teaching something new. So we should have the source. If the payment for mikra is a babysitting fee, then no distinction should have been made between teaching something new versus reviewing something. In both cases, you have a problem of schar Shabbos, of the possible coming to pay for Shabbos services, work done on Shabbos. So at this point, the Tanaic source reads better where a distinction is made between new material versus reviewing. We're in new material, so then the children have not learned the cantillation yet. So, that's why you would be paying for it, and that's why the source objects to their learning something new. As far as reviewing material, well, they've already learned it, so there's no payment because they're not learning the cantillation. They already know it. They're simply reviewing it. The Gemara rejects this approach and says, Ulitamech, according to you that the payment is for schar pisuk, and you thought that the source makes sense, so what aspect of the source made sense? We said why you don't learn something new and why you are allowed to review. Well, schar pisuk b'shabbos mi'osir. You claimed up till now that I understand why the source says you're not allowed to teach them something new on Shabbos. And what was the reason for that? Because you're dealing with a fee that might come to be paid. That is something you do pay for, and we don't want that to be done on Shabbos. Is that really usher? Notice we have a long marking. We're calling this a rejection of the claim that the source was good for the approach, for the opinion of Schar Pisuk Tomim. Not necessarily so smooth. Why not? Because of a new concept. When it comes to Shabbos and payment for services rendered, there's a concept called Havlo'a. A distinction is going to be made as the Gemara unfolds between paying for Shabbos services on a strictly individual basis, an individual day basis, versus paying for services rendered over the course of a week or a month, in which Shabbos is a mere part of it, so that it's not a focused Shabbos payment, but rather the Shabbos payment is havlah, is absorbed within the general payment. And when services rendered on Shabbos are paid for as part of a longer unit of time, namely together with other days, then there is no schar Shabbos problem. So the Gemara develops this point now. We at the beginning of the line, the inverted house, ulitameich, according to you, that payment is made for schar pisuk tomim, and it's seemingly made sense why it said ein korin betchila b'shabbos. Is that really so? Schar pisuk b'shabbos yosur, payment for learning the cantillation on Shabbos, is that really prohibited? Havlohi. The havlah mishra shari. The payment is not made for a one-time Shabbos educational session. The children are learning every day of the week. So when you're paying for a whole week's worth of education, or maybe a whole year's worth of education. And Shabbos is just absorbed within that. Disanya hasocher sapoil. Lishmor es hatinok, lishmor es haporo, lishmor es hazroyim. Three different examples. A worker is hired to watch, to guard a child. This has to do, according to the Meforshim here, guarding children, preventing them from coming into contact with defilement, for the ultimate purposes of preparing the pora aduma, the red heifer. Let's not get too involved with those details, but all we can say is that it's important that the paraduma, the red heifer, is prepared in a state of tahara, of purity. So you hire a worker to guard children who participated in the process of preparing the paraduma, and lishmor sapora, a worker that's hired to guard the actual red heifer itself, lishmor sazroyim, or to guard plants that will be used for the omer offering, a special grain offering on the 16th of Nisan. Ein noisnim lo schar Shabbos. They are not to be paid for their work, for their guarding that they do on Shabbos. And we have to mention that the Reisha is dealing with a worker that you pay on a daily basis. In other words, each day is a separate unit of work. So you cannot pay him for the job that he did on Shabbos. Lefikach, as a result of that, if that is the work arrangement, that he's a worker that's paid on a daily basis, the Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis. Im Ovdu, Eino Chayav Bachrius, and if there was any loss on Shabbos, so that worker is not guilty, he's not responsible. V'im Hoya Sochir Shabbos, this is a tricky word, the word Shabbos here, this means a week. You find this throughout the Shas, that word Shabbos can refer to a week. If he was hired on a weekly basis, Sochir Chodesh, Sochir Shana, Sochir Shavua, Shavua, another tricky word, it means for a period of 7 years. If he's hired and he's not hired on a daily basis to be paid by each day, but rather he's paid by the week, by the month, by the year, by a unit of 7 years, Noisein lo schar Shabbos, then he can be paid for the Shabbosim as well. So that if he's, let us say that he's paid on a weekly basis, 7 coins, each coin representing a separate day. So he can be paid, one of those 7 coins, in fact, covers the services that he rendered on Shabbos. That's legitimate, because it's not an isolated Shabbos payment, it's a payment for a week's worth of work. And in such a case, then he's getting paid for Shabbos services as well. Lefikach, im avdu chayav b'achrius. And if the items that he was asked to watch gets lost on Shabbos, as well as any other day of the week, he is responsible. He has to bear responsibility for that. Ela gabi Shabbos, hainu taimo ein de'ein korin betchila. So that, as you can see, the Gemara is now going back to the topic of the Ein Korin B'Tchila B'Shabbos. We can't say anymore that prohibition is because of a fear of Schar Shabbos, of getting paid for Shabbos activities. That's not the issue anymore. So what is the reason for Ein Korin B'Tchila? There you have a couple of approaches. Number one, Mishum Di'ifnu Av Osoin Dianuki Limitzvosa to Shabbos. There, Meforshim all explain this. If we take a look at, let's take a look at Rashi as one of the examples of the Meforshim. The Ifnu Av Osoin Dianuka Limitzvosa Dilhon. We are reading Rashi right across from here. Shimhoyu Asukin Lakroisin Betchila B'Davar Chodosh. If the children on Shabbos were learning brand new material, Hayu Trudin Bohen. The fathers would be preoccupied with the children's study of new material, and they won't be, we'll say in our terms, they won't be relaxed to enjoy Shabbos. I will shine in, but to review already learned material, once it's already learned material, they won't be so preoccupied with it, and they'll be able to enjoy Shabbos. If we look in the Rosh commentary, we see also he refers to the to this issue of the Yifnu. If you're going to be looking for the Rosh to read it together with us, you're going to have to go back to Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, toward the bottom of the page, three lines up from the end of the Rosh commentary, if they were going to learn new material on Shabbos, it's heavy for them. And it would take a longer amount of time. And the fathers, in the meantime, while the children are off learning by their elementary educator, the fathers are waiting to have a Shabbos meal. Ad shiavo, until the children join. And that would result in a reduction of the pleasure of Shabbos. But that which they learned on Friday, they can review on Shabbos, ki einon tzrichim laharich bo. That is not so time consuming. You find the same spirit of things in when you look at the Tosfos commentary as well. So we turn back to the Gemara text. So then the objection of Ein Korin B'tchila has nothing to do with Schar Shabbos. It has to do with, we'll say, the general topic of Oinig Shabbos, of enjoying Shabbos. And the learning, the study of new material will impinge or limit the amount of Oinig Shabbos that they can experience. V'boyaseima, a second approach, Mishum de B'Shabbato Achlin V'Shosin, on Shabbos, the nature of the Shabbos repast, the meals, is one it's more elaborate, more food, richer food, and v'yakira leon almo, and it causes a heaviness, it brings on drowsiness, sleep, and that's not conducive to the study of new material. So the Rashi says, "V'yokira lehu almov shekoved elem lumoid." It's hard for them to study. But ne'am Michael, v'loche lochi enkorn b'tchila b'Shabbos dimitzar lehu. If after a heavy meal you're then going to subject the children to learning new material, that is too much strain, too much pressure on them. And this idea of the change in diet, the change in style of meal from weekday to Shabbos, causing a change in the person's ability to function, is based on Shmuel. This idea is reflected by Shmuel's teaching, Kedomar Shmuel, Shinui Vesis, a change in Vesis. We'll translate Vesis here as meaning routine. Tchilas choli me'ayim, and a change in routine. Let's focus it more. Focus it regarding the type of meals. Any change is the beginning of stomach troubles, of digestive troubles. And many people will testify that after eating the Shabbos meal, many people enjoy a dish referred to as cholent. In other societies, they refer to it as hamin. When Motzoi Shabbos arrives, people feel the results, the net effects of that kind of meal. That's what Shmuel is talking about. It's not something one doesn't, generally speaking, eat cholent Tuesday afternoons. That's the Shabbos meal represents a shinui vesis. The Gemara introduces in our Gemara, so you can see we introduce a new marking, and on the side, under the Mivneh heading, the crown shape appears, highlighting Ulaman Domar. Hezber Loma Kol Echad Le Omar Kechave Rav Rav and Shmuel, each one saying their own explanation. Be'inyin Alma Loitchim Schar B'Limud Mikra, for what is payment made when we deal with the study of verses. Each one, we saw Rav and Shmuel say their own respective opinions. And here the Gemara analyzes further why each one says what they do and not like the other one. Ulaman di Omar, schar pisuk tamim. According to Rabbi Yochanan, said that the payment is for cantillation. My taima lo Omar, schar shimur. Why did he not say that the payment is for babysitting? Answer, kosovar bonois mi kobayon shimur. Do girls need shimur, need to be babysat? The Mishnah, when it refers to mikra, the teaching of Mikra, it didn't qualify to whom. So it's understood that the teaching of Mikra is for the bonim and bonos, for girls and boys. So that whatever standard we apply to one will apply equally to the other. So if you say that the payment is for cantillation, how to read the psukim, so girls need to learn that, to know how to read accurately, no less than the boys. The right punctuation, the right vowelization, all of that's part of Pisuk Tomim. But if you say that the payment is made for babysitting service, and here you have a very interesting insight. The babysitting that we're speaking about is the nature of little boys to, without supervision, to wander outside, discover the wide world and what have you. Little girls don't have that same tendency. And Rashi says, "Bonois shemalamdin oison Torah." When you're teaching little girls Torah, mi bayan shimor, do they require, we'll say, extra supervision? Inu lavur chayu lemeipakavroi. It's not customary for little girls to wander outside. Dichtiv kol kvoy de bas melech penimo. The honor of the princess is her being in the inner sanctum, in the inner chambers. Veleka l'ukma bo schar shimor. There's no fulfillment of, let's say, babysitting services with payment that has relevance to little girls. So, being that the Mishnah that speaks about the study of Mikra, in the case of a Mudra Hanoa, Ein Malamdin Mikra, it's whatever it is, it's to boys and girls equally. So we have to, when we speak about the payment that would be made for the Limud of Mikra, it would have to be something that applies to the girls and boys equally. And that would preclude Schar Shimor. Ulaman Yomar Schar Shimor, my time alo Omar Schar Pisuk Tomim. According to Rav, who said that the fee for limud mikros for babysitting purposes and not for why doesn't he say for the vowelization and cantillation? The Gemara answers. Notice we have a long answer. Kosovar Rav is of the opinion pisik tomim doiraisehu. The vowelization, the proper reading, is part of Torah itself. It's not an auxiliary effort, an auxiliary skill, but rather it's part and parcel of Torah itself. And for Torah study itself, one is not to take a fee. And therefore, the reference to the study of Mikra and the discussion that we're having concerning payment for it cannot involve something that is part and parcel of the actual Torah. It has to be something auxiliary. And therefore, the opinion of Rav is that the only payment that we can, I'll say, justify is for the babysitting service. You wouldn't be allowed to pay for Pisuk Tumim, because Pisuk Tumim, as Rav perceives it, is part of Torah itself. And we're going to now prove that as part of this long answer. The Omar of Ika, Bar Ovin, Omar Rav Chananel, Omar Rav. My dichtiv, it's appropriate, by the way, that Rav is the featured speaker, because we're working within his opinion right now. My dichtiv, the Pasuk in Nehemiah says, Vayikru b'sefer Torah ha'lekim furush v'sum sechov yavinu b'mikra. And now the Pasuk is broken down, and that's why we have the underlining to highlight the different phrases of the Pasuk. Vayikru b'sefer Torah ha'lekim ze mikra. That's a reference to the verses of the Torah. Mufurush Ze Targum. That's a reference to the traditional Aramaic explanation that accompanies the Torah. Many of you are probably familiar with the Targum Unklus. And that is what the Pasuk is alluding to when it says Mefurash. Vesum Sechel Elu Hapsukim. Again, we're dealing with a verse from the scriptures, a verse in Nehemiah, that makes reference to the here, sum sechel elu hapsukim, until where does each verse go? In other words, the tradition regarding the end of each pasuk. V'yavinu b'mikra, and here we dashed underline, ze pisuk ta'amim. The Rosh refers to this as the shalyadeh hanigun mevinim l'chaber amikra l'malo l'mata. The cantillation enables you to know whether a phrase is attached to that which preceded it or is part of that which follows. People who are familiar with Kriya B'Torah, with the different different cantillation signs there, might understand this further. So we see from here that the Yavinu B'Mikra, Zeh Pisuk Tamim, shows us that Pisuk Tamim is something that's part of the Torah itself. It's not something auxiliary. The Amri Law, another version of Yavinu B'Mikra, is Elu HaMasuros. The Masuros, or maybe you're familiar with the word in the singular, the Masoirah, the Rosh explains that's a reference to Chaseros and Yeseros. These are words that have an extra letter in it, or that's a yesera, and it's a letter that's present that you don't necessarily read, or chaseros is a letter that is not there, but you do read it as if it were there. The Gemara continues with a long point. Omar Rebbe Yitzchak, and on the side you'll notice we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. You'll see a double underline is used to one of our series markings, and we indicate Dugmois Shel. There are four categories. The Gemara will give illustrations of these categories: Mikros Sofrim, Iture Sofrim, Kriyan Velo Ksivan, Ksivan Velo Kriyan. Kriyan Velo Ksivan are cases where you'll be reading words as if they were there, but they're not actually written there. And Ksivan Velo Kriyan are cases where something is written, but you're not going to read it. And all of this is part of an oral tradition. And the Gemara will give us examples. We're not going to dwell on the examples. We're simply going to cite them as we go along in the Gemara. So now the long point, and you can see with the markings that this long point takes you till the second line from the top of Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. By the way, if you're interested in accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Now the long point. Omer of Yitzhak, Mikro Seifrim, the Itur Seifrim, the Kriyan Velo Ksivan, Uksivan Velo Kriyan, Halacha Lamoshe Misinadiz, are oral traditions. Mikro Sofrim. What is that? So in the Torah, sometimes we'll have the same word, but depending on where it's positioned, it will be read or vowelized differently. For example, the word Eretz sometimes is read as Oretz. Shomayim is sometimes read as Shomoyim, with two commas, and the word Mitzrayim is sometimes read as Mitzroyim. So that change in the reading is called Mikra Sofrim, and when that is to be done is all based on an oral tradition. Itur Sofrim. Rashi explains, citing the examples that we have in the Gemara, the second to last narrow line, Itur Sofrim Achar Tavoro. The Pasuk says, Achar Tavoru, V'lo Ksiv Tavoru Achar. V'hainu Itur. Itur is a reference to a crown or a decoration. Shem Atrin Hadibu. Here, we embellish the reading, or we are careful of maintaining the beauty of the reading. Dehochi Mashma Yofe. This reading, it sounds nicer. If I may suggest, it has greater poetic license to it. It's a function of appeal to the ear. Obviously, if one has no familiarity with Hebrew, it's hard to appreciate what we're studying now, but all that aside, there's something called Itur Sofrim, and here the Gemara cites examples of that. Achar Tavoru, Achar Telech, Achar Teosef, Kidmu Sorem Achar Noignim. And you'll notice if you go through the Rashi, you go through the Meforshim here, you'll see the alternative, what it could have been. And for those whose ears are sensitive to this, you see why this is nicer than what the alternative could have been. And Tzitkoscha Kare Eil. Now, Kriyan Velo Ksivan, examples of words that you will read, even though they don't actually appear there, but there's an oral tradition that this is to be read, includes Pras de Belechto. And on the side, the Gemara refers to the different psukim where these are found. Ish de Kasher Yishal Ish Bedvar Halakim. Boim de Venivnisa and Law de Plata. Some Girsos take out the next couple words. That's why we have a parentheses that we put in. And Eli de Hagurin. Eli de Hasaurim. Halin, all of these are Kriyan Veloksivan. You'll read them even though they are not written. Even though they don't appear in the traditional text, the oral tradition says they are there to be read. And now, uksavan velo karyan, things that are written, but do not read them when you're reciting, when you're reading these texts. You'll notice the word is there, but you're not going to read it aloud. No, the word no of the yislach. Zois de Hamitzvah. Gra suggests that is not part of the Gemara's Girsa. We're continuing at the first line of Lamed Chesam Aleph, Yidroich de Hadoirech, and Chomesh de Paas Negev, Im de Chi Goyel. Each one of these words that we highlighted is holin ksavon velo karyan. They are written in the formal text, but they would not be read aloud. They wouldn't be read when reading these texts. As we mentioned before, each one of these examples, whether it's the kri velo ksiv or ksiv velo kuri, the Meforshim help you find where they are referred to, as well as the Torah or citations on the side of the Gemara. The Gemara continues, Omar of Acha Bar Ado, B'marova Paskin Lahodein Psuka L'tlosa Psukin. Barov is in Eretz Israel. The following verse, which is Shmois Perikutes Posuk Tes, in Eretz Israel, they break it down into three separate Psukim. The Gemara doesn't show how the breakdown takes place, and it doesn't even quote the whole pasuk. But we've written it on the side. Shmos Perek Yutes Pasuk Tes. You can see by glancing at the side, the pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe Inei Anochi Boi Lecho Bav Onon Bavur Yishma Ha'om Bedabri Imoch Vegam Bchol Yaminu Leolam Vayage Moshe Es Divrei Ha'om El Hashem." So that pasuk, the Gemara says, is broken down into three psukim. Here, as I said, the pasuk is only quoted partially. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe hine anochi bo elecho ba'av ha'onon. So that pasuk is, as when you look at the entire pasuk as we did, the entire pasuk is broken up into three separate psukim as far as the custom in Eretz Yisrael. Omer of Chamo Bar Chanina, Lo Hershir Moshe Elo Mipsolton Shel Luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu became a very wealthy man. And how did he do so? Because the second of the Ten Commandments, the second tablets, after he smashed the first tablets that he received and broke them on the Shivasar Batamuz, the second set of tablets, he carved out the words that appear on the Ten Commandments, the chips, as he was carving them out. The tablets themselves were made of a highly precious stone. Moshe Rabbeinu was entitled to keep for himself all the chips. And they were of great value. Shneamar, the pasuk says, "Psol lecha shnei luchos avonim karishonim." Carve out, etch out the two tablets like the first ones. And we darshan from psol lecha, psol tom shelcha yehe. The shavings, the psoles is in other contexts would refer to the debris. The non-essential, what was essential, of course, is the creation of the words, that needed to be etched out. The chips, the shavings, that's the psoles. And lecha in the pasuk, psol lecha means you can keep, you're allowed to keep them for yourself. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.